Father, we thank you indeed this morning. We thank you for everything. Thank you for a new morning. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for being our glory and the lifter up of our heads. Thank you for always being there, a very present help in the time of need. As we call upon you, you hear us, even while we are yet speaking, while the word is still in our mouth. Bible says the Lord will answer. And we thank you because many of us have experienced that, the goodness of the Lord over our lives. Today, as we come together for fellowship, we declare that the entrance of your word indeed brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And cause that light, Lord, to shine into our hearts today to bring us understanding. We give you, Lord, praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. But today I want to continue and do part two of engaging the Word of God in the Spirit. Today I want to focus on, the negative aspects of walking in the flesh or trying to receive the word of God in the flesh. That's not going to work. The scripture to consider, first of all, is John chapter 6 and verse 63. And Jesus made his declaration and said, it is the spirit that quickens or quickeneth. The flesh, he said, profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. So it is the spirit that quickeneth. And it's when we are in the spirit, that's where we receive quickening. That's where we receive understanding. Can't get it in the flesh. We know that the word of God itself is called a sharpening and a quickening spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And God uses it to cut the excesses out of our lives and to prune us and press us into a more accurate reflection of Christ. Praise the Lord. The word of God clearly tells us that revelation, when we hear the word of God, revelation and inspiration comes from God. It's not just from the flesh. In Matthew chapter 16, we read from verses 13 to 6, perhaps 19, Jesus conducting an opinion poll with his disciples asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that I am John the Baptist, etc. And some say that you are Jeremiah or Elijah, so this and that. Say, okay, well, what about you? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, so we see that revelation cannot come by flesh and blood. It cannot. Especially revelation about the deep things of God. Revelation about who Christ really is, who Christ is. You can't get it by just flesh and blood. Jesus said that. He said, only my Father could have revealed it unto you. Praise God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9, we also read that the flesh and the spirit are enemies. Contrary one to the other, the scripture says, it said, they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the mind, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Praise the Lord. So flesh and faith, they don't walk together. It says in Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Here it also says that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in this flesh. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, then this body, put it to death. Because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So it is spirit that gives life. And the word that I speak, Jesus said, in other words, the word of God brings life. It is spirit and it's life. To understand the word of God, we got to engage in the spirit. You know, the spirit is willing, we are told in Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh just can't get into the level at which the word of God operates. You know, so, and here is another powerful scripture for you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. Talking about, look, the knowledge of Christ cannot be in the flesh. You know, we got to transcend the flesh. You know, it says, look, henceforth know we no more anyone after the flesh. You know, not even Christ. He said, look, we may have known Christ in the flesh before. Maybe that's how we started out. But no, that's not going to work. We've got to go on to the spirit level. Cannot engage Christ in the flesh, expecting that that is going to work. That will not work. Now, the word of God must be taken as it is indeed the word of God. That's what we read that in the scripture yesterday. Paul talking about the Thessalonians, that they received the word of God as it was the word of God, not the word of men. And we know also the people in Berea, you know, comparison to these same Thessalonians, actually did one step even better. At first, the Thessalonians did not, you know, engage the Lord's word in the spirit, but later they did. The Bereans, though, on the other hand, right away when they heard the word of God, according to Acts 17 and 11, they immediately received it with joy, with an open heart. And then they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. The word of God cannot be known by just learning letters. I want to talk about that also. Engaging the Lord in the Spirit doesn't just mean we're learning letters. In other words, you look at words, you learn it in Hebrew, you learn it in Greek, you learn it in Aramaic, and all these other things. I mean, which, you know, sometimes that's good for, you know, studying, but revelation doesn't come that way. You got to do your due diligence in studying, which is fine, but revelation comes, you know, from the Father. For the letter killeth, but told, but the Spirit gives life. Now, so far we are making a contrast between the Spirit and the flesh, pointing out the ills of trying to, you know, engage the Word of God in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us that the letter killeth. In other words, just, you know, trying to learn God by, you know, knowledge of words and letters and, you know, things like that. That's not going to work. Only get you so far. I might actually get you all confused at times. But the Spirit of God is what gives revelation. And revelation is what we need when we hear the Word of God. But there must be a preparation when we want to hear the Word of God. Yesterday we talked about how Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 prepared his heart, you know, to understand the law of the Lord and then to do it first for himself, understanding it and doing the same before he even begins to teach it. He made preparation. And let me ask a question which the scripture also asks. We know that we must seek the Lord with all our heart. We got to do it. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, thou shalt find the Lord, you know, when you seek him with all your heart. But I want to ask this question. In Job chapter 11 and verse 7. And let's see if we can balance this together. Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? I mean, the knowledge of God is as high as heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can thou know? The measure thereof is larger and longer than the earth and broader than the sea. You know, what can you do? I say, well, but it is our responsibility to search. But it is God that gives the understanding. Well, we do our part, you know, but God is the one that does the understanding. Let's not think that just by, you know, reading human reading, you know, that's what reveals God. We must do that part. But the true revelation comes from God. Praise the Lord. The Word of God, you know, tells us this in many places. You know, Proverbs chapter 25 reveals to us that it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, you know, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. But it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. So seeing that God has made us kings and priests, according to Revelation 1 and 6 and Revelation 5 and 9 and so on, well, we are kings and priests in his kingdom. Well, we must search out the matter. However, remember, it is God that's going to reveal it. Because Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit one time and said, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Matthew 11 and 25. Nobody knows the Father but the Son. Nobody knows the Son but the Father. And God can hide whatever he wants and reveal whatever he wants. You know, so the lesson and the summary of yesterday's session was basically to let us know that if we do not try to engage God in the Spirit, but just in the flesh only, we're going to miss out on the real revelation. And just being physically present doesn't give you an advantage if you don't engage in the spirit. I told all these stories of, you know, the children of Adam in their generations and the stories that they would have heard of Adam, but how it made no impact on any of them except one man, Enoch. And they heard the same stories. The same thing Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 13. He said, you hear it, they hear it. To you, it makes an impact. To them, it doesn't make an impact. Because unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But unto them, it is not given. But you are hearing the same thing. You know, and in fact, they asked him, why you speak to them in parables? I said, well, this is the reason why. So, when we are listening to the word of God, such as right now, we are all hearing it, but how many people will it be revealed unto? You know? So, many people hear about the coming of the Lord and different things that we preach these days. And then, yeah, but to some, it might be revealed, and to others, it may not be revealed. One man called Simeon in the Bible, it was revealed unto him, you know, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, everybody heard that Christ was coming. You know, they knew it. But how come it was only that one person it was revealed unto that, you know, he would see the coming of Christ? You know, so it is today. Whatever we hear of God, when we hear the word of God, we must tender our hearts before him in order for him to reveal himself to us. Matthew 11:27. No man knows who the Father is or the Son, and vice versa, and he to whom he will reveal him. You know, this is how the things of God works. Although, like I said, we have to do our due diligence in seeking for him, but we must recognize that he is the one that's going to reveal himself to us. The word of God, we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16, is profitable for many things, and we must study it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, when we study the word of God, or you hear it or you read it, you got to know one thing right off the bat, that it is the word of God. And therefore, it is inerrant. It has no error. It is accurate. It's the word of God. It's not suggestion, especially when it gives doctrine. You know, it is the word of God. Now, when we hear the word of God and turn deaf ears, you know, as if, well, that doesn't matter, or you just do whatever you want to do anyway, regardless of what the word of God commands, you know, then the scripture characterizes that as a reprobate mind. Reprobate, because you hear the word of God, but it doesn't do anything. You know, that's why we must take time to prepare our hearts, because naturally speaking, our hearts are like fallow ground. You know, fallow ground that must be cultured, must be prepared for the sowing. You know, even as Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says that, look, we got to sow to ourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. So, you know, I went into that yesterday when the sower is sowing that seed. If he ends up sowing that seed on grounds that are not ready, it will not produce the best result. You know, it can be on the wayside and birds will pick it up. It can be on stony ground and it will not have depth. It can be on among thorns and the cares of this life will choke it out. Or it could be on good ground. For it to be on good ground, we have to prepare our heart. Before the planting season, the farmer must, especially if they acquire new ground, they must break up that fallow ground. Sometimes they have to plow it, remove all the things that should not be there. Maybe have been grown over with weeds and so forth. Break it up, try to fertilize it, get it ready before the planting. And the same way, we must get our hearts ready. And we listen to the word of God. Don't just listen casually. Take the word of God as it is indeed the word of God. You know, that's where we get the real benefit from God. Praise God. You know, I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, well, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, so that's a responsibility on our part. Open your mind to receive the word of God, but then trust him to bring the revelation. Because we can't, don't think of it because it's all because you have learned it. No. The vision of all of this, the word of God, is like a book that is sealed, Isaiah tells us. It is sealed in such a way that nobody can get inside. Not even the learned. The learned can't even get inside. They look, they say, well, you know, I can't even read it because it is sealed. Let me read that to you in the book of Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 11. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Sealed means, well, you put a seal on something for many reasons. Sometimes the seal is put on so that, you know, something on someone cannot break through. A seal can also be a symbol of authority. In this case, you know, it's sealed to keep intruders out, or, you know, just to protect the contents so that it's not readily available. And so this book is sealed, and then you gave it to someone that is learned. In other words, somebody that knows letters. They know the Greek, they know Hebrew, they know Aramaic, they know all these things. They can read, you know, the Bible upside down any which way. They understand all these words. Well, but there is some hidden revelation which they cannot get. And so when you give them the book, you say, well, you guys are learned. You know, so scholastic. You know, so tell us. I say, well, I don't understand it. Because the book is sealed. Well, but you are learned. I mean, you're the one supposed to figure this out. No. Jesus said, these things are hidden from the wise, from the prudent, from the learned, the scholars, and stuff like that. It's hidden from them. You know, they have the human learning. They can, you know, tell you words, you know, even sometimes big swelling words. They can tell you all those things, big grammar and everything. But the revelation may not be there. Just like the earthquake passed before Elijah. I mean, the sound of the whirlwind, the earthquake, the fire, and all these things, you know, big swelling words, but revelation was not in it. So then you turn around and you give it to somebody that is unlearned. He said, what in the world are you giving this book to me for? The learned can't understand it. So how can I? I'm not learned. So you see, either way, you know, the learned can't get it. The unlearned, of course, can't get it. But God reveals them unto babes. You know, sometimes even the things that we think are hidden and cannot be known, well, as it is written, eye has not seen, ears have not heard, but God has revealed these things unto us. Let's read 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 2. He says, we speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect. This is 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. Yet, it's not the wisdom of this world that we speak. You know, we don't speak even the wisdom of the princes of this world, but those things come to naught, he says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered to the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You can stop there, but you shouldn't. You can go and read the next verse. I say, but God has revealed them to us. Yeah? So in the natural, we can look, but we don't see anything. We listen, but we don't hear anything. And, you know, the looking and the hearing, you know, still our heart doesn't perceive knowledge and understanding. But yet, God can reveal it. Say, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So, looking, listening, and these are natural senses that we have. You know, with our eyes, we look, with our ears, we hear, and with our heart, we're supposed to understand. But Jesus said, well, the quote in Isaiah, I said, the eyes of these people have been blinded. Their ears have been stopped. Their hearts have been made gross, you know, waxed, and so forth. They will not understand. They will not hear anything. And even Jesus talking to the Jews many times, he would say stuff like, why is it that you cannot hear my speech? Why is it that you cannot understand my word? You know, well, I mean, some people will understand it, but others may not understand it. But it's the same thing. We'll preach the same thing at the same time. Many people listen, but some will get it and some will not get it. Why is that? Well, because God is the one that reveals it. And in order for you to be classified among those that will get it, you got to recognize that. It's not just because you were present and you heard the teaching that makes you to get it. No, that doesn't necessarily give you an advantage at all. It should, but it doesn't. But when we seek the Lord for understanding, you know, because God is the one that reveals it. Said it's the Spirit that reveals these things to us. For the Spirit is the one that searches all things, even the deep things of God. For no man knoweth for what man knoweth the things of a man, but the Spirit of man in him. Well, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, in order for us to understand the things of God, we got to engage in the Spirit. Spirit does not communicate with the flesh. Doesn't work. These are loggerhead or enemies with each other, spirit and the flesh. So, but when we are in the Spirit, communicate. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. It was on the Isle of Patmos. When he engaged in the Spirit, then revelation came. So we got to be in the Spirit to hear and understand the Word of God. You got to do it like that. And the Word of God, really, when we understand it, we'll find that it is the answer, you know, to all debate and argument. And it is the truth. It's the real truth. Jesus in John 17, the prayer that we reviewed that prayer a couple of weeks ago. He said, sanctify them Lord, I mean, Father, because, you know, said, I've given them thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. The truth is in the word of God. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 tells us that, you know, you heard people say things like the litmus test, you know. I mean, how do you, what's the final arbiter? How do you, you know, certify this thing for real? Well, it's the word of God. You know, he said, to the law and the testimony. Well, if any man speaks and they speak not according to this word, then it is because there is no light in them. So get away from it. So check it all, always, according to the word. Now, if you don't know the word, and they speak something that's not according to the word, then how are you going to know the difference? You know? So we must do our due diligence in searching the word of God while at the same time recognizing, and this is a great mystery, recognizing that it is not just your searching, which you must do, but it's not just your searching, you know, that will bring it to you, but the grace of God can reveal it, you know. Just like the scripture says, you know, except the Lord build the house, the laborers are laboring in vain. Now, except the Lord reveal it to you, you can read it all day long. And it's not going to mean anything, you know. Psalm 127 will tell us that if it, the Lord is not in the effort of the building, well, people are putting in effort and it's good, but it will be vain at the end. It's not going to stand. Because the Lord was not in it. You know, so that is how we must recognize this. Psalm 127 verse 2, you can read that there. There's a story in Acts chapter 8 of a man that was reading the scriptures. It was called the eunuch from Ethiopia. He was reading the scriptures. And when the Spirit of the Lord directed Stephen to go and join the man, he approached his chariot and he said, what are you reading? It turned out to be the book of Isaiah. He was reading what we now call Isaiah chapter 53 and the things like that. And, Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? I said, how can I understand? There is no man to teach it to me. Well, but he was reading it. How come you don't understand it? Are you reading it? So just reading it alone is not sufficient. We must read it, but reading it alone is not sufficient. We've got to know that the Lord is the one that's going to bring that understanding. And that understanding, the next part of the key concept that I want to bring out concerning engaging God's word in the spirit, is that understanding will only come to those that, you know, take the word of God seriously. If you take it lightly or you say it doesn't matter, then there's not coming any understanding to you. But if you take the word of God as it is, not the word of man, but the word of God indeed. Well, those are the people that will get the true understanding. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. You know, the Lord had been telling the people, look, you know, I am the Lord and I created all these things. My hands have formed everything. You know, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What is the place that, where are you going to build me? What house? Where is the place of my rest? I mean, seeing that the Almighty dwelleth not in buildings made with hands, well, what house then are we going to build for him? But the Lord said, look, but this is the man that will get my attention. That's right. The man that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, he humbles himself and trembles at my word. That's the key part that I want to highlight today. He takes the word of God. I mean, granted that we are human beings and we may make mistakes or fall into error sometimes and so forth, but when the word of God comes for correction, The one in their hearts, I say, wow, the Lord has spoken, you know, and they align themselves with the word of God, repent of whatever errors they've fallen into, and straighten out themselves, you know, in alignment with the word of God. Those are the ones to whom God will look. But the person that say, well, that doesn't matter. And then that means you've taken the word of God as the word of a man and some opinion. It's no opinion. It's the word of God. God says it, that's it. Now, Jesus said, the words that I speak, these words will judge people, you know, at the end. So it is important that we get revelation. You know, the writer of Proverbs, he said, look, get wisdom, get understanding. With all that getting, better get understanding. And understanding is actually inspiration and revelation. You can't get it. Not everybody that hears it gets it. The parable of the sower bears that out. The seed that fell on the wayside, Jesus said, these are those that heard the word of God, but because they did not have understanding, then the birds of the air, which is the devil, he came and plucked those things out of their heart. Well, how then can we get understanding? Where is the place of it? How can you find it? You know, the scripture asks us. So that's the thing. It's actually in the same word of God. You know, it's like a paradox sometimes. You know, you need understanding to get to, you know, to know what the word of God really says. And you can't get that understanding without the word of God. I mean, so it's kind of like that. You know, so we must pray, must tend our hearts. Say, Lord, what are you really saying to me here? You know, and yesterday I said we're going to study through the book of Psalms 119, 176 verses, where the psalmist focused on the word of God, you know, from the beginning to the end, the longest chapter you find in that Bible. And all of it are dealing with, you know, his relationship with the word of God. That's it. Every one of those verses. You may call it God's law, thy precepts, thy statutes, thy testimonies, or whatever it calls it. It's all about the word of God. That's it. So I want to read some part of it now. As we read the word of God, remember, this is the word of God. It's not an opinion. God granted that these and allowed that these things be compiled into scripture. Jesus himself and the apostles, they quoted freely from the scriptures. They quoted from the prophets. You know, Jesus quoted Isaiah freely, and they quoted from the Psalms. And the apostles did the same thing. And it gives these things credence. We know that this is the word of God. You know, even Peter, you know, called the writings of Paul. He calls them, you know, the scriptures. You know, how did he know that they would be part of the scriptures? Because the Holy Spirit revealed them to him. You know, listen to this. When Peter was writing about, you know, how people handle the word of God, in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to verse 16, but let's read a little context, you know, for us to get it. This is, you know, the things that validate these writings as the word of God, you know. So, it says, account. I'm going to start from verse 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3. An account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Listen, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Well, by saying other scriptures here, that means categorizing the writings of Paul as part of the scriptures. So, well, they wrestle Paul's writings and they wrestle the other scriptures. So I'm saying these things to show us that God has given credence to these writings, you know, and, well, how did the Word of God come to us? The scripture tells us that the Word of God did not come to us, you know, by, you know, private interpretation, you know, but holy men of God, as they were moved, they wrote, you know. So it's not, if it didn't come by private interpretation, it cannot be understood by private interpretation either, you know, but holy men of God, as they were moved, you know, they wrote these scriptures by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit wrote them, then also, well, only the Holy Spirit can interpret them. Let's read that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, I should say, no writings in the scripture, of any private interpretation, for the prophecy or these writings came not of old time by the will of man. See, that's it. Did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spake and they wrote these things, the word of God be spoken and written. They spake, they wrote, and when we read of it, must tremble at it in order for us to get understanding. We must engage it also in the spirit to get the understanding. Well, let's see now how David engaged the word of God in the spirit. In this, the rest of this study, we will be reading through Psalms 119, all of it. Take a long time, but we're going to read through it and break it down as we go through it. I've laid the background for us to understand that the reading of the Word of God must be taken as such, and not taken as though it was some opinion or something that somebody just wrote. You might as well not waste your time listening to it or reading it, if that's what you think about it. But it is the Word of God. Now, Psalm 119 and verse 1. And I encourage everybody to read and study through this long chapter, even on your own. Read ahead, study through it. I did a study of this chapter on this platform once in 2023, about some years, few years ago. But I want to do this again because the Word of God is what is shaping us, the elect of God, the bride of God, to be like Christ. It is that Word. That Word is what quickens. That Word is the, you know, sharper, and razor sharp, and cut asunder, cut out all the excesses and different things. It's also like a mirror. And we look into that Word and we begin to see more and more a reflection of ourselves. in the mirror, but the more you look, the more you see that you are looking more and more like Christ. You look in the mirror one day, at first, you look like your old self. Yeah, that's what you look like at first. You look in the mirror, that's what you see. Well, the more we engage the Word of God in this spirit, more and more, being attentive to what the Spirit is saying, he that hath an ear, well, let him hear. Everybody has an ear. But if you have spiritual hearing, that's what he's saying. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The more you're hearing in the Spirit, and you continue to look in that reflection of that mirror, what you see begins to look different than what you thought you would see. And you look in a mirror, normally you see a reflection of yourself. But now, what you look in the mirror, what you are seeing, after much reflection in the Word of God daily, what you see is something that looks like Christ. It's not looking like your old self anymore. And Paul explains it by the Spirit of God in Second Corinthians, you know, chapter 3, we read it in verses 17 and 18. The Lord is that Spirit. You know, we're talking about, you know, engaging in the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, where he is, he brings liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, you're looking in that mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. And what you are seeing is looking more and more like the Christ in the same image. Glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, you're looking more and more like Christ through the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important. That's why we do it every day. Praise the Lord. Now, unto Psalm 119. It's broken into sections. We will do one or two sections at a time. Again, the focus of that very, very long psalm is the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So you see right away, a few minutes ago, he called it law of the Lord. He called it his testimonies. He called it his precepts. He called it his statutes, whatever. And sometimes he calls it his commandments. You know, but it's all the Word of God. So anytime you see law of the Lord here, you see his testimonies or statutes or his commandments or this and that, it's all about the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And blessed that they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Well, why are they blessed? Well, because they will find. Jesus said, he that seeketh findeth, especially according to Jeremiah 29:13, when you're seeking him with a whole heart. Now remember, God knows our heart. And you know, and God is not mocked. You cannot seek God, you know, half-heartedly and expect to find him like that. It's like, you know, looking for treasure on the surface of the earth. You're not going to do it. Just walk around trying to find precious rare metals on the streets or on the ground like that. You're not going to do it. You can pick up as many stones you want all day long. None of them will be those precious stones. To get those precious stones, you're going to have to dig. There's a lot of digging, mining, and explosions and different things. You know, sometimes they dig a mile deep inside the, you know, belly of the earth. Dynamite and so many other things before they can find any. Sometimes they don't find. They keep doing those mining explorations. Dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. Yeah, because God are hiding those things like that. So, but those that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart, he said, blessed are they, for they shall find, you know. And seeking him with all the heart also means concentration. You know, we've been talking about the representation that the layout of the tabernacle specs and the grounds that God gave to Moses, representation that those things gave us, especially as you approach the most holy place, it's concentration. It's one-on-one, only one person went in there. And it's full concentration too. When you get on there, you can be fully concentrated on him. That's the real definition of seeking him with the whole heart. You might remember the story of Jesus, Martha and Mary. And Jesus visited Martha and Mary in their house. Luke chapter 10. And Martha, we're told, was engaged with so many things, running up and down, trying to get, she was being hospitable and everything, trying to serve the people. Jesus came and his disciples said, it must be served. It's a good thing. And her sister was doing something good too, but something which didn't look good to Martha, but which Jesus said was even better. You know, Martha was doing service, running up and down and so forth. And she said, well, why is my sister just sitting here, you know, listening to Jesus at his feet? Bid her come and join me and help in preparation, preparing all these things and serving the people. And Jesus said, no. You are encumbered with so many things, Martha, but your sister has chosen the one needful thing. That's not going to be taken from her. So Jesus, considered Martha sitting there, Mary sitting there hearing the word of God as of greater value than all the stuff that Martha was doing. So seeking the Lord with the whole heart. When you put all these stories that we read in the Bible together, it means sometimes you got to stay still, in order, to really get something from the Lord. You got to stay right there. If you're too much in a hurry or too busy doing whatever, you may not get the deep revelations. You probably get the shallow things. Shallow. Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Well, that means you won't know anything until you are still. So the revelation, the knowledge of God will come to you in those still, quiet moments. Till this day, people still talk of quiet time. Well, it comes from this kind of verse. Be still and know that I am God. Be silent before me, or else. How do you do it? Well, let's read. Now we're going into a deep dive study of Psalm 119. That means we may read one verse and it triggers some other things. And we'll, look at those things as well. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 towards the end, and then the early part of chapter 41, we read the following. This part of Isaiah 40 is a popular part, that people read all the time. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. You can't figure him all out just by searching. No. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, these are people who are naturally strong. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you continue on to verse chapter 41. Keep silence. You know, this is how you renew your strength. Remember, he said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, keep silence before me, O isles, and let the people renew their strength. You know, say you will renew your strength when you wait on the Lord in the previous chapter. Here it's telling you that, well, silence is part of that. When you keep silent, you know, that's how you renew your strength. And Jesus said, look, this woman that is sitting here listening to my words, she's gaining more than all that you are doing running around. You know, so blessed are those that seek him. That's what the psalmist is saying here, with all their hearts. And that involves, you know, sometimes we just sit still, ponder the things of God. It's anything that is of virtue, anything that's of praise, anything that's of good report, anything that true, anything that are honest, you know, these things, think on these things. Philippians 4 and 8. When we sit in his presence, when you meditate and you just think, you can disengage even from the world around you. You can go into a zone of engaging in the spirit, even while you are doing things in the flesh. You know, yeah, you just switch off and switch on. You know, just like the Bible say, put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, put off the things of the flesh and put on the things of the spirit. Disengage from the flesh and engage in the spirit. And we have to practice that to know how to do it. Even hearing the voice of God clearly sometimes entails disengaging all the other voices of noise. You know, so many other things, you know, that you have to filter through. And when you learn by practice on how to do that, it gets better with time. With practice, you know, knowing how to do that, how to disengage from all the distractions, even though they are there, you practice how to disengage and how to seek him with all your heart. He said, these people that are such, that walk in the law of the Lord and that keep his testimonies and seek him with all the heart, he said, well, they also do no iniquity. That's right. The word of the Lord hiding it in our hearts will keep us from iniquity, as we're going to see in a little bit. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And now he's going to pray. Oh, that my ways were directed, Lord, to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. That's right. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, you cannot do anything by partiality. You know, Paul told Timothy, keep these things. Give yourselves wholly unto them. Without partiality, you know, now partiality means, you know, you prefer, you know, one aspect of the word of God above another. A lot of denominations and so forth these days that are, you know, built around this very thing. They might say, well, we are holiness and well, we are this or we are that. And just take one part of the scripture instead of all of the scripture and just focus on that thing and say, well, that's what we do. Or some people, even worse, you know, they take pick and choose what they like in the word of God. When they hear the word of God in some areas, they yield. And but when they hear in other areas, yeah, they remain obstinate and say, well, you know, because they've determined in their hearts that that's, they're not going to do that. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, he said, meditate upon these things. Keep, you know, thyself holy unto them. You know, meditate upon everything. And when you read the Word of God with the intention to understand it all and not to pick and choose, then God will actually reveal His Word to you. But if you are already partial in your mind before you even started, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 21, do nothing by partiality, he said. You know, when you observe these things, commanded him, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou, I mean, see how serious Paul puts these things. You know, charge you for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things and that thou do these things without preferring one above another. Doing nothing by partiality. I mean, you can't pick and choose areas of the Word of God that you will like to submit yourself unto. And others, they say, no, it doesn't matter. No, you can't do that. It's all or nothing. You take the whole Word of God as it is. You can't slice it up the way we like. Do nothing by partiality. And don't prefer one before another. And do nothing by partiality. Listen to all these things. Meditate upon them. Receive them too. In fact, even James was talking about the wisdom that comes from above. That wisdom, he said, it's pure. It is peaceable. It is teachable. It's easy to be entreated. And it's full of good works, you know, and so forth. Full of mercy, full of truth, without partiality. And so God always dismisses this partiality thing. You take one part and leave out others. No. You know, they said, you got to take everything in its entirety. He that keeps the whole law but offends in one area is guilty of all. So if you take the Word of God, most of it, well, but then you dismiss some part of it, well, then you're guilty of dismissing it all. Praise God. So, and the Word of God must be seen as inerrant. It has no error. It's the Word of God. Take it as it is. Even if you, you know, sometimes people read, and this is why I tell people when they're trying to understand the scriptures. If you read something in the scripture, you read two scriptures that appear to be contradictory, you've got to establish in your heart right away that it is not contradictory. It is inerrant. Inerrant. It cannot be in error. There's no error in the Word of God. I'm the one that's not getting the clear understanding. I need to figure it out. You know, that's the way, rather than thinking, well, you know, that can't be right. Well, once you think like that, then you've got a problem. It's completely free from error. That's what inerrant means. It's free from error, has no mistakes, has no faults. I mean, it's the same thing as saying it's infallible, you know, and it's unerring, it's flawless. And this is the Word of God. That's how we must see it. So I will read through some portions more portions of this Psalm 19 as we go through. Now, yesterday's lesson, and mostly this, was just to lay a background of how to engage the Word of God. Now that that background is laid, we will read through these verses, and we will hear the Word of God. This is the Word of God. So, in this reading that we are doing right now, we see how the psalmist kicked things off. You are blessed when you heed the Word of God. You do His commandments. You think of His Word of God like that. They're precious to you. There's so many things that the psalmist said about that. You know, and do no iniquity, walk in His ways. And it's the Word of God that actually keep you in those paths of righteousness. And he said, Lord, you know, direct my paths and my ways to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments, not some, but all. I will praise thee uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So, statutes, testimonies, commandments, law and precepts. These are all the terms that he will use in this writing. They are all relating to the Word of God. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Now, this is a good verse to learn and memorize. Psalm 119, verse 9. How do you cleanse your way? Well, you do that by taking heed according to the word of the Lord. That's it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11, powerful verse. You take these two verses, 9 and 11, together, powerful stuff. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That word will keep you from evil, from sin, you know. And then, even if you are in error, that same word will cleanse you, you know. So, it will keep you and it will cleanse you. If you stay close to it, it will keep you from error in the first place. But if you find yourself in error, that same word will cleanse you out of it. The washing of water by the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth, not some, but all of them. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. This man values the word of God as though, you know, they were material riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our heart. This is the word of the Lord that we have read today. And as we continue through this series, we have laid the background, we will examine many of the concepts that the psalmist introduces or highlights in this chapter concerning how we relate or should relate to the Word of God, and how he himself related to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding. Let me summarize by saying that some of our physical senses by which we see, that's our eyes, by which we hear, our ears, and things like that, you know, they are portals. When you hear the word of God, it's a portal to the spirit. When you see or read the scriptures, that's also a portal. Our prayer must be then that seeing, we should see. Hearing, we should hear, that our hearts may perceive knowledge and understanding, which is so key, because Hosea wants that the people of God in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 will perish and be destroyed and be punished due to lack of knowledge. You know, if you don't know, and how do you know? Well, when, you know, you hear the word of God, you pray for understanding. That's how we know, because Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot reveal it to you. You know, we pray that the Lord will reveal it to us. Praise the Lord. And that's a summary of our lesson today. We must engage the Spirit, the Word of God in the Spirit, and not ever in the flesh, thinking that by virtue of we know big words or this and that is what carries revelation. No. Paul himself said, now, when I came among you, I desired not to use, you know, man's wisdom and great words, so that your faith will not be based on the excellency and my prowess and how I can speak well, but on the power of God. You know, so sometimes some of us are good speakers, and that's a good thing. He said, it might be a talent, you use it for God. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but let's not think that it's because I know how to speak well, naturally, that that's how. No, it must come by revelation. Praise the Lord. And you may not even have revelation. I mean, you may not even be a good speaker, but revelation may be there. You know, many, you know, of people that we see in the scriptures, sometimes they try to shy away. Jeremiah said, I'm a man, a young man, I'm a kid, I can't do this. God said, you will. Even Moses said, I can't speak this and that. God said, you will, you know, and so on. So, you know, many of us start out like that. I myself, a quick testimony here as I round up, you know, I wasn't a good speaker when I first started. In fact, I was terrified. And later I learned to speak, but even it wasn't when, you know, the learning to speak causes me now to know the things of God. It's revelation. Revelation comes because now by the grace of God, I can read a verse that I've read before. And, you know, you all know that this is true. And suddenly the light shines upon that thing. And then you see what is not readily seen at the surface. And that's revelation. And you can bring out things from the Word of God because the Spirit of God is in you to give you revelation. Jesus himself said, you know, therefore any scribe, see, that is instructed in the things of the kingdom. Well, they were scribes, they learned letters. But when they now get revelation, they will be like a householder that can have many treasures in his house. He can bring forth both good, treasures, new and old. You know, he had the old, which he got by learning letters, but now he gets the new, which comes to him by revelation. And Jesus is saying, well, it's good. The old is good, but the new is even better. Praise the Lord. So that's it for today. Let's trust the Lord to help us in preparing our hearts every day for the Word of God and break up the fallow ground, make our hearts ready when we hear the word of God and engage the Lord in the spirit like that. Otherwise, what you will find is that people that do not engage the word of God in the spirit, you know, it thrives for a bit in their heart. They say, oh, wonderful message. But then the next day or the next week, they don't even remember what was taught, which at one time, when they heard it, they thought it was a wonderful message. Well, that's because they only engage it in the flesh. If you engage it in this spirit, it will be inscribed into your heart and you will know and remember. So engage the Lord's word in the spirit. Father, I thank you. I give you glory and honor. Praise the Lord. I thank you for all, blessed be the name of the Lord, that you have been teaching us and showing to us from day to day. And we pray, Lord, that we will not be hearers of the word only, having no knowledge or no understanding, but we will be those that hear, that see, and that understand. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us deep treasures out of the word of God as we engage. Praise the Lord. Even as this scribe who learned letters initially, but now has learned the things of God, they're now instructed in the things of God, they can now bring forth great treasure. Even as it is written, Jesus said this at the end of Matthew 13 with all those parables. When you learn things from the Spirit of God, you will now have treasures. You know, the old and then the new. Lord, we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. We know that this word is so important. It is what is curating us in us, the very nature of Christ. Therefore, help us, Lord, give us understanding. Teach and instruct our hearts in the things of God. How to engage in the Spirit when we hear the word of God. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.